for the next few weeks together. And just, you know, I was thinking of that, we should never be discouraged. Hands up all those who are never discouraged. Well, we're in good company then, aren't we? We're all in the same ship. Hardship. Isn't that right? But you know, thank God, when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He has alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon Him. I was looking at the young folks here tonight. I'm just so thrilled to see them with us. And my mind has gone back the 50 years. And I got saved, as you know, on the 50 May the 1st. And a year later, I went to David Clifford's Bible School. Now, I was standing in a railway station with my ticket from the north of Scotland to the south of England and £5 in my pocket. And I look back and we sing, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow." When we follow Christ, He takes us through the rough and this way. Have there been discouragement? Yes. But you know, when I get discouraged, I discovered something early on, that when I'm down, He's always up. Amen? And that's a wonderful position thing to remember. And I was just thinking of a hymn there that we sing in the Lord's Day morning in our assembly. "Lord Jesus Christ, we seek Thy face. Within the veil we bow the knee. Oh, let Thy glory fill this place and bless us while we wait on Thee." Can you imagine what the glory it would be like? The glory of God fell upon us tonight. Be wonderful. Will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll read from that lovely chapter, that lovely book and chapter. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, we read this, verse 1, "God spake in sundry times and in divers manners." God, who in sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as He hath an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, 'Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee'? And again, 'I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son.' And again, when He bringeth in the firstborn into the world, He saith, 'And let the world, let all the angels of God worship him.' And of the angels He saith, 'Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire?' But unto the Son He saith, 'Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.'" You know, I think we should all say amen there, eh? Amen. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." What a thought, eh? It's not dependent upon man or the stock market or anything else. But He says that. He says, unto the Son He saith, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thy hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as other garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. Excuse me, but hallelujah. Amen. Why, thy years shall not fail. What a wonderful Savior we've got. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at the right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool? And they are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. I'm sure the Lord has blessed to us the reading of his own precious and holy word this evening. Just one little thing I want to say before I get going, and that is that, you know how I love the gospel. And I was reading an old brethren writer, C.H. McIntosh, and was very blessed by what he had to say about the gospel. And so I put a title on it, Whatever Happened to the Gospel? And there's little leaflets at the door, take one as you leave. But there's a wonderful story of a man who got saved when the Titanic went down. And take one as you leave tonight. So as we are together this evening, then I want to share with you the wonder of what we have in our wonderful Savior. There are certain questions that are asked in the Scripture that are brought out and very clearly brought out to us. And Peter is challenged to the fact to think of who Christ is. Who is he? And then we have a Pilate who asks the question, what shall I do with Jesus who's the Christ? What will I do with him? And when you go to the book of Revelation, what do you discover? There's a great white throne, and you find the one that they're questioning who he is and what they should do with him is the one who will indeed the judge of all things. And so we come tonight to look at the wonder of this glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a difference and what a power he makes in a life and in the world as we come together tonight to consider it. And my dear friends, as we begin to think of it and begin, we think of the lover in the Song of Solomon. There in the Song of Solomon, he is captivated by she is captivated by her beloved. What is your beloved? More than another. He's altogether lovely. He's caught up with it. And the vision of him has caught him and caught her, and she is just captivated by him. And so, my dear friends, I want to say this. We are captivated by Jesus Christ. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze in glory, but on the King of grace, not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And we're going to, just for a moment, to glory, gaze at the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and see how wonderful indeed he is. You know, when we begin to see the Lord Jesus Christ and he's presented to us, we discover that he is glorious in several ways. He is glorious in his eternal fact that he's an unchanging person. He's an unchanging one. My, if you go to that book we were in Hebrews, what do you discover? He's the same. Jesus Christ, what? The same yesterday and today and forever. My friend, the only thing that has changed is that we have changed in our love for him. Sometimes it goes cold, sometimes it goes warmer, and as we gets warmer and warmer and warmer, we discover more about our beloved, and we come to the point where we say, to Jesus, every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. He's all my fancied pictures in my fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. What a Savior. What a blessed person that we have in Christ. And so we discover this, and when we go to the last book in the Bible, to Revelation chapter 22, we discover, using the Greek alphabet, that he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And to us as Christians, thank God he's everything in between as well. He's the beginning. He brings us into a real experience of himself. He brings us into that knowledge of his indwelling presence and forgiveness that he brings to us. We find that he is glorious, my dear friends, in as the unchanging one. He's glorious in his names and titles which are ascribed to him. When you go up to the prophet Isaiah 9 and 6, remember, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace is he. Yes, he's wonderful in the wonderful names that he gives. We can go through other names. We can look at the names in the New Testament. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Lamb, the sacrifice. Our Savior, Jesus, the Savior. We can go right down through all the wonderful names that were given to him. And we see in him the glory of God revealed. The Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father. The Father, it literally just means the Father of Eternity. I love the Gospel of John. I think the reason I love the Gospel of John, that it omits Bethlehem and goes back further and begins in eternity past. And you have that great, great statement made there: in the beginning was the Word. So authoritative, so clear, so powerful. And then you see him operating as the Son of God in time. And so we discover that he's glorious in his relationship to the Godhead. Yes, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, as it was quoted tonight, full of grace and truth. So we discover this, that we have a Savior who is glorious because he never changes. Sometimes we used to say, I change, he changes not. He never changes. But we find that he's glorious because of, indeed, these wonderful names that each that bring a consciousness to us that we have a support, an eternal support from Almighty God. Now, someone may say, well, John, why are you being so simplistic? Because, my friend, I live in a real world. We only live in this building certain parts of the week. And the hours we're in this building is minimal to the hours that we're in the world. And my dear friend, when we're in the world, we better be acquainted with Jesus Christ. Not just in this building, but out in that world. We better be sure when we meet the agnostic and the atheist. We better be sure when we meet the person with trouble. We better be sure when we meet the person who's living under a desperate situation, that we have the Spirit of the living Christ within us. That we can reveal that our Christianity isn't dependent on being together, although that's fellowship and encourages each other, but our Christianity is dependent on being with him, not knowing his presence alone, not keeping him prominent in our conversation, but as the word that Paul says, keeping him preeminent as Lord of all. Do you remember? I remember when I got saved, I was as green as a cabbage when I came into the assemblies. I didn't know much. And I heard a man say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Do you remember that saying? It was said by the old believers, if he's not Lord of all. If there's an area in your life that doesn't belong to him, it's time we unlock that door and threw away the key, and you'll find he'll take the door off and put the heavenly sunshine in there. Amen. He's a wonderful Savior. And so we discover he's glorious in his relationship to the Godhead. We discover in John 15:26, when the Comforter is come, who will I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What a wonderful trio relationship. The Son testifying, the Spirit testifying of the Son, and the Father being glorified because the Son is being testified of. And so we see this then, my dear friend, fourthly, that he is glorious in the claims which he made up for himself. If you look through the scripture, you remember when he came to John 4, the woman was looking for the Messiah. This one is going to come, when the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, for when he is come, he shall tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I am he. Nobody else could make that claim. He presented himself to her as the man who was God, manifest in flesh. John 5:22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. I am the door, said Jesus. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out and in and out and find pasture. And of course, that famous verse in John 14:6, Jesus said, simple, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you're struggling with your Christianity today. You say, how do you make it through life? I was sitting at lunch with someone recently in Virginia. We had discovered friends, pastors with a car, and we spoke to them on the phone and said, pull in at the first restaurant, we'll have lunch and fellowship. Lunch and fellowship's a wonderful thing, you know, it really is. I don't eat dessert, but my, I certainly love the fellowship that comes with lunch, amen. And this lady looked at me and she said, John, do you ever get depressed? And I said, how long have you got? I tell you, do I get depressed? But my dear friends, I tell you, do you get down, you get challenged, and Satan knocks on your door continually. But my dear friend, you are conscious that you're stuck on the way and you're not moving. I told you someone gave me a GPS, and we tried it out on a road that we knew. So when we went down on the road, said get off at the first exit. Well, we didn't get off the first exit. And this lady inside this tom-tom, whoever she is saying, wrong way, wrong way, wrong way. You know, my dear friends, when you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, the Spirit of God will tell you when you're on the wrong way. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. They say, how do you know? My dear friend, to use a nautical expression, you'll be like a fish out of water. I'll tell you. You say, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. The Spirit of God will think, because you know why? You'll find that yourself in a situation where you're restricted. If you and your friends cannot speak about the Lord Jesus when you're not in the church, then, my dear friends, we are facing a real problem, because when we walk in the way, He'll keep us there. Very clearly. And so we see He's glorious in His claims about Himself. He's glorious in the experience of His people. He is a Savior, Shepherd, Friend. And I was thinking of that lovely psalm, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. You go through it. Isn't it marvelous? You can go to every aspect of life. There's green pastures, there's fresh refreshment, there's waters, there's even the very edge of heading off into eternity, a valley, and He's with you. And then there's the coming out the other side and finding the table spread, and then, of course, finding yourself in the house of the Lord forevermore. David reveals that even though he on earth, his enemies were all around him, he could partake of God's goodness for his life. My friend, let me say this. And I say this for the younger folks. There's only one person on this earth that will stop you from being God's man or God's woman, and that's you. We have to stop blaming other people for our lack of spirituality. My friend, years ago, I made a commitment before God that I would be a living sacrifice. I made that commitment, and when I had a choice to do what was right or what wasn't wrong, but it just wouldn't put Christ in first place, I never had any problem making the choice to put Christ as first place. And I'll tell you, He'll come in and bless your heart like you've never known in your life. You put Him first. I love that hymn. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. We stayed with a brother in Motherwell, Scotland, who was presented by an honor at Buckingham Palace by the Queen, and he showed us the video and everything and all the people that were getting it that day, and he came before his sovereign and he bowed. My dear friends, He's the sovereign of our lives. He's glorious in the experience of His people. When you think nobody cares, Jesus cares. He cares. Then we discover, my dear friend, His glory is in the perfection of His redeeming work. Look at John 19 and 30. We read there, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And in Jude 24, He says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." And we were bought with a price, and what a price it was. We were bought with a price, and Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. Washed us white as snow. My friend, sometimes we get caught up in the mechanics of Christianity and saying the things the right way and doing it as we think the right way. But I'll tell you, my friends, if we lose sight that we're only sinners redeemed and blessed and saved by amazing grace. That's who we are. Oh, glory. Do you know what? If we all died in the next minute, you'd be singing like you never sung before. You know that? Because we'd see Him, and we would praise Him. He's glorious in His perfection. Now I want to say to you young folks, younger folks here, maybe it worries you sometimes to think that if you go through with God, you're going to lose out. You won't lose out. I wasted my youth before I got saved. Not after it. And my dear friends, I began to believe God. I began to exercise faith. I began to see God working things out in our lives that only He in His miraculous way could work out. And I look back and I say, what an exciting adventure to have been with Jesus. And thank God if you're like that, and God lights your fire and lights mine, and we go along life's road, do you know what? It isn't long before we take other people with us. They've joined us and they come along. And I'm so glad that 50 years later, the throng has got bigger as we've gone. Each day and each year, God has been gracious. He's glorious in His perfection of His redeeming work. Redeemed. We sometimes sing, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child now. Forever I am. What a blessed thing it is to be saved, isn't it? And I said, as I stood at my brother's grave and my mother, I got him, God wonderfully operated, and I got the whole family together. There was a space for my brother, and so I stood there and made the committal and thought, oh, God can take a young life and use it. And I knew for certain three of these folk lying at my feet were in heaven. Wasn't sure about the fourth, but I had prayed plenty about it. And the issues are with God. And I thought, what a wonderful Savior. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we see His glory as we look at it very quickly. We see as the unchanging one, the titles ascribed to Him, Wonderful Counselor, the relationship to the Godhead, He was God, His glorious claims of Himself, how I'm the way, I'm the door. My dear friend, the wonderful experience that He is in our lives, that we have a shepherd there. My dear friend, the glorious perfection of His redeeming grace. I'm not half saved. I won't lose my salvation. My dear friend, I'm in the hands of the Almighty. And so are you. And everyone who knows the Lord. And we thank God He is glorious in the place of glory which He occupies now. And the writer, he, in the verses we read, very clearly brought it out for us as he talked about the Lord in verse 3 here, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He Himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, my dear friends, let me say He is glorious in the place of glory. Jude says in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And in Revelation 19 and 16, it says, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's your Savior, you know. That's your Lord. That's the one you surrendered to. That's the one you confessed your sin to and walked away when Jesus took your burden and you could no longer bear. When Jesus took your burden and left you with a prayer and your anxious fear subsided and your misery and your spirit was made strong. When Jesus took your burden and left you with a song. Oh, dear saints of God, many of us look as though we're still carrying the burden. But Jesus took it. Jesus took it. Thank God for the hymn writer who could say, singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road,
for Jesus has lifted my load. What a power, what a beauty, what a wonder. My dear friend, it was Wesley in the midst of that glorious hymn, having been ordained in the Anglican Church, who wrote, and as he was composing the hymn, having composed something like 9,000 hymns, in the middle of composing a hymn, he got saved. And can it be, and I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Then that glorious verse where he got saved. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound by sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. Do you remember it, beloved? When you woke, you came out of the darkness of sin. Paul says we were translated from the darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. He said, I woke, the chains fell off, I rose, went forth, and followed him. My friend, if the Marlins get a shout or the Steelers get a shout, then I'll tell you, I'll shout for Jesus till my last breath. My dear friend, there's nobody won a victory like our blessed Lord. And Wesley said, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Oh, bless God. That's what Christianity is about. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now there's an awful lot much more, but I'm not going to do that to you tonight. But maybe that's a good point just to draw the line. Maybe some of the shackles. Maybe in the closing prayer we'll maybe hear some rattling going on, or some of the shackles are falling off, and we're ready to get up and say, Lord, let's go. Let's go. And I'll tell you, you're not going to walk into misery when you follow Christ. You're going to walk out of misery. And you're going to follow the Savior, my dear friend, who never changes. I was thinking of that hymn by, I'll just quote it as I close. I just wrote it down this afternoon, that written by the Gavers. I was so moved thinking about it. There's a line that is drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging to gain man's soul or its loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons, all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory. And they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes, the force of the conflict. The sun refuses to shine. And there hangs God's Son in the balance. Then through the darkness he cried, it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. Amen. And amen. And amen tonight. I don't know about you,
but my heart. They talk about that, the rhythmic problem. I have that continually when I preach. My heart just sort of leaps around. It doesn't lose its rhythm. It just gets faster and gets more excited. But what a day. And then one day we're going to see that wonderful Lord. And what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. As we look upon his face. The one who saved us by his grace. And he takes us by the hand, walks us through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day. That will be. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this evening for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his love. We pray for the young and the old, and we just pray that some or other, if in a very feeble way we have lifted up Jesus tonight, that someone may be attracted to him. Oh Lord, we just pray that someone will be attracted to him. And oh God, may we who have been on the road a long time never get used to the wonderful love of Jesus. But may we constantly live in the light of his lordship and of his power and of his glory. Bless everyone together this evening, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give me a moment to just get to the door and remember we only live next door. And if God troubles you in the middle of the night, just knock on the door. I'll be glad to get up. You won't get a frown. You'll get a smile. Because, my friend, I tell you, God runs a 24-hour service, and I want to be part of it. Amen? And we're there for you. Or during the day, if you need prayer, just come. We'll pray together. May God bless you. Amen.